Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at 97.5 FM WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic, joined by Melissa.
Good morning.
Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Got some entertainment news coming up for you in a little bit. Some other fun topics. But it is a Monday in the 10 o'clock hour. Y'all know what that means. Tell me
something good. Good morning and welcome to the Kitchens Open on WFHR. Today may be Seth's favorite day of the entire year.
Ooh, I thought that was last week when you had your anniversary.
Okay, all right. Let me be a little bit more specific. Mm. Today may be Seth's favorite National Food Day celebration of the year.
Now, wait, hang on. Well, that's normally National Pie Day. But that's in March, so you must be talking about something else.
Well, you were kind of on the right track, but think about your tier system.
Oh, okay. My pie tier system?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for those of you who haven't explained this to in excruciating detail before, so I have a system. I don't have a favorite pie. I have a system of pies that are my favorite, mm-hmm. starting at the low end, which is basically any pie, you know, if it's there,
if
I'll
it's
eat
circle.
It kind of thing. But if you, as you move up, you get to like blueberry and apple and those kind of things. But I have to say that the top two, I've got two favorite pies, and the very top tier are pecan and strawberry rhubarb.
Today is National Strawberry Rhubarb Pie Day.
Oh, there we go. That's why. Okay.
And to celebrate, we're going to learn a little bit more about one of the key ingredients of this pie, rhubarb.
All right.
To look at the rhubarb plant, you might mistake it for a weed easily, but it's actually a hardy perennial in the buckwheat family.
Ooh.
According to the University of Wisconsin-Madison, Wisconsin Horticultural Division of Extension website, hort.extension.wisc.edu, there are many species of plants called rhubarb, and not all are botanically related to the edible type. The ancient Chinese used it as medicinal herb for over 5,000 years.
Wow.
And they used it over 5,000 years ago. So it's
been around for a long time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Native to southern Siberia, it got its name from the Russians who grew it next to the Ra River, now the Volga.
Oh, okay.
So for centuries, it was traded alongside tea as a cure for stomach aches and fevers.
Very cool.
So the English were the first to eat rhubarb beginning in the 17th century, but unfortunately chose to begin with the leaves that looked like chard.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That's bad.
Yeah, the leaves, however, contain a toxic amount of oxalic acid and are very poisonous.
Yes.
So the ensuing cramps, nausea, and sometimes death from ingestion suppressed interest in this plant for about 200 years.
I can imagine why.
Whoa. Man, to think that there's maybe a version of this where nobody goes back and checks it.
Right.
And they just call it a weed, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it just kind of never gets used for anything. And poor Seth is not happy.
I'm very unhappy right now. Yeah,
it makes
about
me
that.
Wonder, how did the Chinese know what part of the plant to use for its tea to be medicinal?
Oh, wow.
There was
but
so
the
much,
English didn't know mm-hmm. to have that part.
There was so much trial and error that they did that we did not learn. Like, mm-hmm. it's odd to think of, but it's only like the late 17th century that we're really actually experimenting mm-hmm. more with food and drink and a lot of that. Mm-hmm. It was so much like, it's a great point. It's
yeah,
really interesting.
I can only imagine somebody getting the tea from China and going, oh, well, I have a rhubarb plant in my backyard. Let me just try and use that and not going so well.
Well, and it's funny that the fact that the rhubarb stalk, yes, it's edible, but it's extremely sour.
It is.
The fact that my cousin, so my grandparents had a big patch of rhubarb in their backyard, and my cousin Philip would go and grab a stalk and just take a big bite, and then the faces he would make were absolutely hilarious. It was great for entertainment value,
like
if nothing else.
A baby a lemon.
Yeah, right.
The bonding experience kids have with eating things that are going to, are nasty
yes.
or whatever.
Yeah.
It's such a weird thing.
It is.
It's
sad that we get entertainment from that as adults.
Yes.
You know, I feel bad for the kids. But fortunately for Seth, A century later, the English did try again.
Right.
At hort.extension.wisc.edu, they shared, by the late 18th century, Europeans had discovered that the tart stalks were the part to eat and perfect for, quote-unquote, tarts, giving rise to the nickname pie plant.
Hmm.
It was brought to the Americas by settlers before 1800.
Amazing.
Really interesting.
The pie plant.
The pie mm-hmm. plant.
It's even got that now. I'm going to start calling it from that for now.
Pie plant.
Forget rhubarb. Pie plant.
Yes.
It's a pie plant pie. Because that's a lot to say.
Yeah.
So I was curious about how this plant grows. Because I've seen them grow in wild. I've seen them in backyards and all of that. So at some places I've lived, they were actually in my backyard. And, you know, my mother had a garden when we were living in Ohio. And it was in the garden. So the website helped me understand a little bit more about the growth of the plant. The herbaceous perennial grows 2 to 4 feet tall with large, smooth, heart-shaped basil leaves. So since I'm just a budding gardener, nothing?
No.
Nothing?
I was expecting Seth to laugh.
Nothing?
No,
okay.
No, I'm going to leave that. Let's lay there where it belongs. Yeah.
That was awesome. That was great. I wish I had a laugh.
I'll try this again. Since I'm just a budding gardener.
You need sad trombone sound is what you need for that one. Yeah.
I looked up what basil leaves are. Well, basil leaves. So basil leaves are leaves occurring in a tight cluster or rosette at the base of the plant. Think dandelion.
Oh,
they also have basil leaves.
That's right.
So that's why you would look at the rhubarb plant and think that's just a weed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that they thought, well, let's try to eat that weed. And fun fact, you can also eat dandelions.
Yes, you can.
Use them for wine mm-hmm. and all of that. So those, what we consider weeds, throw away, we don't want to see, actually do have a use in the kitchen.
Very sour flavor again, though.
Which you can change to
that's true.
Adapt, just like you do the rhubarb. Mm-hmm. On its own, no. But with dandelions, you can have them in, like, the leaves themselves in salads, and mm-hmm. it gives it a little bit more of that peppery taste to it. So the website does go on to say, the plant grows from large, fleshy, reddish-brown rhizomes with yellow interiors. The leaves emerge from crown buds when temperatures begin to exceed 40 degrees Fahrenheit in early spring. The thick, succulent red or green leaf stalks, petioles, grow up to 18 inches long and 1 to 2 inches in diameter, with leaf blades up to a foot or more in width.
Mm-hmm.
So
pretty big, yes.
They can
it's
be
a big plant.
Yeah,
they really are. And I noticed on the website, I didn't go into much detail, but they could also be used in landscaping. Mm-hmm. They're a pretty plant if you have them amongst other things.
Mm-hmm.
So they seem to be easy to grow as well. Rhubarb is very easy to grow. The plants like fertile, well-drained soil, high in organic matter, but are considered somewhat adaptable. Lighter soils will produce an earlier crop, but require more irrigation and fertilization. Because this perennial will remain in the ground for several years, choose a site in full sun where they can remain undisturbed. Make sure to allow space for the large broad leaves to grow. Planting on raised beds for good drainage helps prevent the crown rot so that you can keep having more plants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Prepare the planting site in the fall by eliminating perennial weeds and working in manure, compost, or other organic matter. Incorporate fertilizer just before planting in the spring.
Ooh.
So you can purchase crowns or divisions from other plantings about 3 feet apart. Giving it that space will allow those leaves to grow out where they want to be. So you want to make sure you give them that space.
Gotcha.
Set the pieces so that the buds are about 2 inches below the soil surface. Don't harvest any stalks the first year.
Mm.
Wait until the second or third year so the roots can establish themselves.
Mm.
And then you're going to have a good hardy plant that you'll have for years. Keep grass and other competitors away from the rhubarb. You may want to mulch in the winter after ground freezes to avoid heaving. Divide and reset plants about every fourth or fifth year to keep the plants vigorous.
In the research that you've done, Beth, have mm-hmm. you come across this often where a plant you're supposed to leave alone for a while before harvesting it or anything?
Not so much plants, but certain trees.
Okay, yeah, mm-hmm. sure. Yeah,
you let the first year go, and then it's the second year that you actually start to harvest. And that allows it to really fully come into maturity. And so you have the best fruit or result possible.
Right. I do know that rhubarb can grow basically anywhere if you let it, because it's the seeds, you know, when it grows up, they can be distributed widely when, you know, they get the air. I believe they're blown around by the wind, and they can end up coming up in different spots. I had a patch of rhubarb in the house I lived in Cloquet, Minnesota, and my neighbor asked that I would, you know, take off the stem with the seeds on it, because he said, you know, I don't want a bunch of rhubarb in my backyard, because he would blow right into his backyard kind of thing. Huh. So, but yeah, so it can grow pretty much anywhere if it finds a spot. Yeah,
it's as tough as it sounds, like rhubarb. Yeah. It's a rhubarb. It's
a rhubarb. Yeah, it's good hardy name for a good hardy plant.
Right.
So now that we know how to grow rhubarb, how can it be used in the kitchen? Well, rhubarb is typically used for jams, sauces, or in pies or other desserts, but it also works well as an accompaniment to savory foods. Because rhubarb is tart, it almost always needs to have some sugar added to make it palpable. We all know this. Mm-hmm. Rhubarb is most tender and flavorful in the spring and early summer, but it can be used throughout the season, which is why you see it at farmers markets throughout the summer.
Right.
So it makes sense that in June, the transition month from spring to summer, that we would celebrate one of the ways to sweeten up this tart plant. Strawberries do the trick, and the resulting pie is delicious. Some would say top tier.
I would. I would say top tier.
I don't make pies at home a lot. Seth can attest to that.
Probably just as well.
Yeah. But this simple recipe I found on food.com may change my mind about this one. So maybe I can make your favorite pie at some point. So you want to start by preheating your oven to 425 degrees Fahrenheit and spray a, not muffin tin. You want to spray your pie tin so that your crust does not stick to the pie tin. Create your mise en place. And I talked about this last week. That's a term for gathering your ingredients in the way that they're going to be used for the recipe start to make the recipe. Yeah. So you do that by chopping 4 cups worth of rhubarb and slicing 2 cups of strawberries. And in a small separate bowl, lightly beat 1 egg. So in a larger bowl, combine the rhubarb, strawberries, 1/4 cup of cornstarch, 1 tablespoon of lemon juice, and 1/4 teaspoon of cinnamon. On a lightly floured surface, roll out 1/2 of the pastry, either homemade or store-bought, in a 9-inch pie pan, pie plate. So when you buy pastry pie crusts at the store, you usually get 2 in a roll there. Mm-hmm. And it's designed because some pies, like the strawberry rhubarb pie, you have a top layer to the pie as opposed to being open. Sure. Mm-hmm. So you're going to want to get one of the pie crusts that has the 2 crusts in it. So the first one, you're going to roll out on the flour surface and then put it in the bottom of the pie plate. You're going to start to spoon that filling into the pie, roll out the pastry for a top crust, but then you're going to use a pastry reel or a knife to cut it into 1-inch wide strips. Brush the rim of with the beaten egg, the rim of the pie crust that you've already put into the pie pan. Mm-hmm. You're going to brush the edges of that with a beaten egg. And then you're gently going to weave the strips over the pie to form a lattice. You're going to trim that and flute the edges. That basically means to crimp the edges together.
And you can use a fork for that.
Then you're going to brush that lattice work all over with the beaten egg. That helps give it a nice golden brown when you're baking it. Sprinkle the top with sugar if you want to do that. That adds a little bit more of the sweetness to it. And you notice there wasn't any sugar added to the filling. The strawberries have enough sweetness to them that it helps balance out the tartness of the rhubarb. Bake on a baking sheet with sides in a 425 degree Fahrenheit oven for just 15 minutes. So the tip here is if you don't have that cookie sheet handy, make a drip container out of foil larger than the bottom of the pie plate and place it under the pie pan and up the sides loosely, because the filling will start to bubble and it can go up over the edge, and you don't want to have a mess in your oven. So this helps prevent that. After that 15 minutes, you're going to leave it in the oven, but you're going to reduce the heat to 375 degrees Fahrenheit and bake for another 50 to 60 minutes longer, or until the rhubarb is tender, filling thickened, and the crust is golden. After you take it out of the oven, let it stand for 10 to 15 minutes before you cut it.
If you can stand it.
Yeah, don't leave it on the windowsill. I will be by.
Yes.
Be careful.
Now, I'm the kind of person that I'm a big crust person, so you could literally give me a crust and I'll be fine. I will be very happy with that pie crust that you gave me and stuff, but this sounds really tempting. This sounds really, I can see what you were talking about wanting to make it. It sounds really good.
And it sounds very simple to do. There's not a lot of ingredients. There are not a lot of steps to this one. Once you learn how to do the lattice work, and you can easily go onto YouTube or onto the internet and find recipes that will show you how to do the lattice. And you don't necessarily have to do the weaved lattice. You can figure out creative ways to make that pie top.
Yes.
On top as
you
well.
You can make it look good. So, and I think one of the reasons why it is one of my favorite pies is that combination of the sour and the sweet. And it's, you know, getting that balance between the two. Because regular rhubarb pie, nothing wrong with that. But there's something about having the strawberries there that makes it that much better. And that's why it's one of my favorites.
And it tastes great. It's nice and sweet. It's top tier, if you will, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, we'd like to make your business the top tier, give your business a top tier treatment as a sponsor of our show. As a sponsor, we will highlight your business during the segment and in our newsletter. We could also share an interview with you or broadcast live from your business.
If you're interested in learning more about these opportunities, just give us a call at 715-424-1300 and speak with Pam. She'll put you in touch with Ashley to work out all the details.
That number again is 715-424-1300.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Excellent.
Another great episode. Pie. Nicely done.
Pie. You need to do all of them about pie.
Yeah. Next week, more pie.
More pie.
Actually, next week I'll be taking a week off, so you'll hear a best of episode next Monday, but then we'll be back the week after and we'll see.
Who knows? All right.
Be on the lookout, everybody. Be listening for it. And please do us a favor and spread the word about this show and let all your business friends know and get them a part of the team over here. Thanks again, Beth. Nice work.
Thank you.
We will take a quick time out. We'll come back and have some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR.
Tell me something good.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Seth, Melissa, James here with you. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to Beth for kicking off our hour the right way with the kitchens open.
Very fun, yes.
It was a lot of fun.
I
want to dive into this one, and this is, of course, always interesting when we're talking Dolly Parton. Despite being one of the most recognizable people on Earth, Dolly Parton is still one of us. As she proved it once again by admitting to the one thing she eats every day. Every day.
Okay.
Do you want to take any guesses, or should I just give it to you? It's early. I don't want to make you guys think too much.
That's a good guess.
I wouldn't have thought of that. Oh.
Eggs.
Another good eggs, one. Yeah. Another good one. You're both wrong.
Ah.
Potatoes.
Oh, nice.
She doesn't need anything glamorous. She said she just looks for, quote, good hearty food, and potatoes are her favorite thing.
How about that?
Here's what she said on Today Show recently. Quote, I have to have something with potatoes. I mean, I'm just one of those people that I have to either have a baked potato or some mashed potatoes or some french fries or something to do with potatoes.
Well, there's so many options.
Potatoes absolutely. They are.
I actually heard some people debating this the other day. Some chefs debating this the other day of what is more versatile, the tomato or the potato.
Oh,
and I thought it was a very interesting conversation.
That
actually.
Is interesting.
Wow. So this kind of leans into that, I guess.
I think the potato wins.
Yeah,
seriously, you can do so much with potatoes. You can make any number of things. And you know what? It gets kind of lost in the shuffle because of french fries and people, you know, think that potatoes aren't good for you. Potatoes are very good for you. They have lots of vitamins and minerals in them. So, yeah.
They do, and they get a bad rap.
They do.
Of, like, people, the carb counting and that their carbs and their
starchy. Yeah, they're starchy, but... Still, I mean,
I don't
know.
I,
they are very good for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
If you eat them in another form than French fries, James.
I'm glad you said that because obviously come to this conversation a little biased. I could not imagine having to make this choice. I could not imagine having, because half my blood is marinara. Everybody loves ketchup and those things. But at the same time, like, there's so much to do. Potatoes, I think, are way more versatile than tomatoes are, and especially for basic just getting by and living things,
right? Well, because potatoes basically take on whatever flavor you put on them, right?
You know, that's right.
I mean, they taste good with a little salt, you know, just a little salt on your potato. I'm usually good that way, but I mean, sour cream and butter and You know, like French fries, you know, you put a little frying batter on there and fry them up, and that adds a lot to them. I mean, pretty amazing.
I think, the biggest, you probably don't deep fry tomatoes.
Has anyone ever tried to do that?
I mean, you do, like, grill like fried them, yeah. tomatoes mm-hmm. are a little, they're fried, but
that's
like
true.
Deep-fried. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But that so that I think that's a different. I don't know. We should find out.
Grilled green tomatoes, the sequel to fried green
tomatoes. The same, only healthier.
Yes. On Friday night, Miley Cyrus attended the premiere of her new visual album, Something Beautiful, at the Tribeca Film Festival. After the movie, she sat down for a Q&A, and fans immediately started shouting at her to sing. Apparently, they didn't quite understand the concept of a film festival. One woman shouted, "We thought this was a concert. We paid $800. Another yelled out, "Are you actually going to sing?" Then somebody asked her to sing The Climb, and she replied, "You have to start it." And a little a cappella sing-along started out. After the show, some of the hecklers defended themselves by saying that they bought their ticket from the resale sites where the event was billed as a concert.
That's on them.
Seriously. I mean...
All right, but how entitled are you as a person? And I don't care. Look, first off, if you spent $800 on a ticket, that means you can spend $800 on a ticket. So I'm not about to feel bad for you.
Fair.
And how entitled are you that you're there, you're experiencing this, and guess what? Hey, it didn't go. A live event didn't go the way that you thought it was going to. Welcome to adulthood. Here's some big boy pants. Now shut up and just take in what you're experiencing instead of like being so self entitled. Wait a minute, I thought this was but it's not what I thought it was. How dare you? You know what? I'm going to stand up in front of all these other grown adults and show that I'm the child in the room.
Well, which, I mean, the fact that they had to defend themselves afterwards, that tells you everything. It's like, uh-huh. I'm sure majority of people are like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, what is your deal here? Come on.
Now, mm-hmm. I will say, this is also one of those things where I feel like had I gone to this and I'd gone with somebody, that somebody would have been doing this. I've been in those situations before.
Oh, no.
And you're just hiding. You're just, oh, God, no. No. No, no, please, no. Just sit down.
If someone shouted for her to play Freebird, then that would have maybe that would have been interesting.
It feels very tacky. It feels very, that's sad. Here's an interesting one that I thought this is kind of interesting. We'll find out how many other people do. Michael Biehn has a voice role in the new animated movie Predator, Killer of Killers. And that means he has faced off against a Predator, an Alien, and a Terminator.
Yes, he has.
And there's only a couple of people who have done this. There are only three actors who have faced off against an Alien, a Predator, and a Terminator. He fought Arnold Schwarzenegger in the original Terminator back in 1984.
He did.
Then he played Corporal Dwayne Hicks in Aliens in 1986.
Yes.
And Biehn is now in the third person who have faced all three.
Okay.
There is also the great late Bill Paxton. He was,
that's right.
He was one of the punk Schwarzenegger attacks at the beginning of the Terminator movie. Mm-hmm. I did not know that. I forgot that. That was
an early small role for him, yeah.
Detective William Hudson in Aliens, of course, mm-hmm. and Detective Jerry Lambert in 1990's Predator 2.
Oh, yes. Oh, wow.
And then there is the amazing, the great Lance Henriksen.
Mm-hmm.
He was Detective Hal in Terminator, Android Bishop in Aliens,
yep.
and Charles Bishop Wayland in Alien vs. Predator. So he's gotten to do all three.
He's gotten all three. Good for him, man.
That's pretty cool.
Michael Biehn, by the way, he's basically, I think he's been in every James Cameron film. Some smaller roles, but I think he's basically been in all of them, if I remember correctly.
It's kind of an interesting list. Kind of an interesting thing, too. It's not exactly the triple crown that you wanted.
It's not 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
But, yeah. Yeah. It's always kind of a funny to me, these things mm-hmm. that we figure out there.
I think that is interesting, actually. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
One more time, I just want to say a big thank you to Art Stevenson for joining us this morning. Mm-hmm. Behind the scenes, guys, we kind of, whether it was Art or it was Todd and Brian from Southbound, mm-hmm. Putting up my text messages all over the place and everything, and figuring out a way to make this work and get mm-hmm. them on the air so that we could not only get to talk to them and our audience could, mm-hmm. but to talk about Bluegrass at the Lake.
Mm-hmm.
We got a fun one coming up this week at one of our signature events in this area.
100%, man.
June 12th through the 14th over at beautiful Lake Wazicha. Come and shake in this festival, this experience. Be a part of things. Come on down Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all through every night if you can, every show if you can. We encourage you to do that. Keep on listening to these networks, whether it's us at WFHR or WIRI. They give ticket opportunities for you.
More of those coming up. Yes, awesome. Many, many opportunities.
Tomorrow on the Sunrise Show, where you can join us at 105.5 from 7 to 9 every morning. In the 8 o'clock hour, Carolyn's going to join us.
Yeah. Great. Can we talk to her again? Yes.
Talk with her about Bluegrass at the Lake. Maybe give away some tickets.
Oh, yeah. You know it. You know it.
I might be doing that. Find out more and get your tickets, and we'll meet you there at Lake Wazicha this week for Bluegrass at the Lake. Go to bluegrassatthelake.com. And also wanted to remind everybody that we got Civic Media's Scotty Summers Text to Win contest going up and down the state.
Yes.
This is a big one, everybody. It is your chance to, every at the top of the hour, or every hour, I should say, at 7, 11, 2, and 4 o'clock hours, we'll give you a keyword to text us through the Civic Media app. You do that, and just like that, you're in on the winning. You have a chance to win not only these hourly prizes, but, of course, our grand prizes, two grand prizes.
Woo!
Got a Baraboo Dells area trip. Got a Door County getaway trip. And we're going to even pay for your gas.
Yep.
To get there. I love that part. I got to get that in there.
I say all inclusive, but that does help. Yeah, to help you, unless you live in
Many
Door County.
Many expenses paid.
Many expenses paid. Thank you, Melissa. That's the best way to put it. We had a great response to this on both stations last week. I want to see more.
Yeah.
Come on, everyone. Yeah, we want to see more entries.
From
we want to see it.
Our station.
And just a quick reminder, everybody, that Playmakers will be on tonight from 4 to 5 over on 105.5 WIRI. I want our callers back. I want you guys to start joining us again and everything. It's been a little bit here. It's a little change up and stuff with the time and the network, but it's still the same phone number.
Trades happen all the time.
They do.
In sports.
That's right.
I've been telling this audience that Jair Alexander was never going to play another down for the Packers for months now, and he was just cut this morning, or he's going to be cut this morning and everything.
See?
We could have some conversation about that.
James wants to say, I told you so, to nobody in particular.
Nobody in particular. But we want to have some fun on the show. Be sure to join us. A big, big thank you. We can't do this without those that support our show, Quality Plus Printing, Family Natural Foods, sponsoring that hour. Be sure to join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 4 to 5 for Playmakers. We speak sport. We'll be back after our news, sport, and partner break here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. So I got an interesting one here that I thought we could get into. And this is... So I don't know where to begin with this one, you guys, because I'm learning this in real time. I did not pre-read this because I really wanted to, I didn't know if you guys knew about this either, and I wanted this all to come into the conversation the same way.
All right.
Grandparent showers.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Grandma showers.
Like a walk-in tub?
No. I realized as I said it out loud, yes.
That's what it sounded like.
Not exactly that. Like baby showers. We're talking like baby showers.
Oh, yeah.
Really could have worded that differently, James. Really could have.
I mean, you could do some of the same party games. It just depends.
Right. So would you be for or against showers with grandma? There's apparently a new trend of baby showers for grandparents. And yes, this is in addition to all the other showers for mom and dad. So apparently there are parent showers and there are grandparent showers.
Oh, goodness.
Some people say grandma showers or grandbaby showers are a heartwarming way to honor a new chapter in life. But others say it's inappropriate and even a little narcissistic. People against them say that a grandma shower can shift the focus away from the actual parents. A bigger issue could be that it is yet another party that friends and relatives might feel obligated to attend or buy a gift for. And let's be honest, some people are feeling gifted out by all of these new celebrations.
Right.
Especially since many people treat showers as a way to help first-time parents with an onslaught of expenses.
Right. Yeah. That's the whole idea behind them, right?
Grandparents should be acknowledged in their new role, especially if it's their first grandchild, but they're usually facing less of a financial burden. I had never heard of this before. I've heard of baby showers.
Mm-hmm. Baby showers. And I don't think they should be called grandparent showers. Grandbaby showers makes a heck of a lot
more sense. That makes a heck of a lot more sense. Yeah, it does.
As opposed to grandparent showers, where I'm like, okay, we're throwing them at what point?
I think the term showers like done. I feel like the term shower is done. I feel like that it's just way too, I don't know. There's got to be a better way to word this. There's got to be.
I'm sorry. This is what I was picturing. Welcome to old age.
Right, right.
Here's your box of Depends, and we gave you a walker.
You're officially old
when
now.
When does this happen?
Yeah.
What are the funnier things that could have happened from this? I skated completely over because I just tried to get it out there, but Melissa's with the switching of diapers. I love that. From baby to grandparents.
Well, because you know, one of the baby games that you play at a baby shower is the host will melt candy bars in diapers.
So gross.
And then you have to open up the diaper. They all have like numbers on them. So it's like 1 through 9. You have to open up the diaper and figure out what kind of candy bar is in the diaper.
God, so wrong.
So wrong. So wrong.
Sorry.
For the grandparent baby shower, I think it shouldn't be candy bars. I think we should do something else.
No. I am very uncomfortable with where this conversation is going right now. We need to stop it.
I feel like there's such a better way to do these things. There's very few people outside of you know, a lot of politicians and people in the top 1% and all that everybody already knows that I'm who I'm talking about and everything. Mm-hmm. Most people can't afford a whole lot nowadays. Mm-hmm. Most people are trying to get by or trying to make
especially
the most of things.
Things like this, right? Yeah.
Why not? You could do this where you got the parents and then the grandparents and then the other and then the baby shower, but everybody's in charge of their own thing. Like, hey, you guys are going to cover this. We're going to cover diapers.
Right.
You guys go ahead and get early learning toys. You know, whatever it might be. And actually, maybe that's the way to do it. The older, like, if you're the grandparents, you get to get the toys. If you're the parents of the kids, you know, you get to...
Whatever. Yeah, right.
There's got to be a better way. That's all. I feel like there has to be.
And what is the point of a grandbaby shower or a grandparent welcoming baby shower? Are you getting the grandparent stuff? Because theoretically, at that point in their life, you hope, they're doing well enough to be retired and you know, be where the grandbabies get to go to get spoiled.
Right. Yeah.
You know. So, what do you give the grandparents at that shower?
And most of the time,
here's the start of their college fund.
And most of the time, the grandparents are part of the shower anyway. Right. Like the normal shower, they're there to help celebrate. Yeah. So I don't know.
It's
like gender reveal parties.
Can I have a moment of vulnerability with you two and just keep it between the three of us?
All right.
Okay. Sure. Just between the three of us. As I mentioned earlier, I did not pre-read this. And I thought that Melissa actually, I was 100% certain that this was, hey, you get to it, you just became a grandparent. Well, we're going to celebrate that. And it's all about actually celebrating the grandparents and you becoming a grandparent.
Oh, okay.
Like a baby shower is about the baby. So I thought a grand shower was about the grandparent.
Right. That's logical, right? It makes sense.
Not what turned out. I had a lot of other thoughts and jokes to make, and none of them make sense now. None of them work.
Well, and you know, usually you throw a shower for the first baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
often,
that's right.
Or at least that's what happened when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go to baby showers with my mom or whatever. But then the subsequent babies don't get another shower.
Mm-hmm.
So celebrating the grandparents for their first grandchild, that's an exciting milestone in a grandparent's life, becoming a grandparent, right?
Yep.
You can talk to this, James.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
definitely.
It's you know, it's a big step and important, but... do they need their...
Who's it about? It's in the end, I think it's all about who is this supposed to be for, right? And I think that let's focus on the becoming a grandparent is like a reward in and of itself almost, right?
Well, yeah,
you made it this far,
is the grandbaby,
exactly, right? You don't need any more than that.
Now, if you're becoming a grandparent, and you want to throw your own party? Well, sure,
go for it.
I'll come over and party with you. Heck yeah.
That sounds got an interesting thing here about some things that happened. It's actually 10 things, but we don't have time to get through all 10. 10 things that happened 10 years ago today.
Oh,
the tropicalfruit.com did another list of their 10 things from 10 years ago. These are always kind of fun to look at and everything, and a little bit of perspective. Mm-hmm. American Pharoah won the Triple Crown. He was the 12th horse to do it and the first since 1978. Justified did it again just 3 years later. No other horse has done it since.
Wow.
That was pretty interesting.
I remember that, yeah.
The most popular wedding song back in 2013 was All of Me from John Legend.
Oh, wow.
The top first dance song was Thinking Out Loud from Ed Sheeran.
Oh, wow. He's been around for that long.
Kind of wild to think of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pizza Hut announced their Hot Dog Bites pizza was coming to the U.S. It had hot dogs baked into the crust and came with a side of mustard. It was a limited thing that nobody else wanted.
I was going to say,
ordered.
I don't even remember that. Wow.
It seems like I remember hearing it once and be like, oh, memory it's hold. In a blanket on a pizza. Nice.
I forgot about that one. Let's see. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie were still together. Wow. Florence and the Machine scored their first number one album. How Big, How Blue, How Beautiful.
Fantastic.
That was such a good band. Such mm-hmm. a good album. Taylor Swift's album, 1989, was number two on the charts at that time.
Okay.
Raven Simone replaced Rosie O'Donnell on The View. Wow. I didn't know that was that long ago.
I totally forgot that Rosie O'Donnell was on The View. Oh, my God.
Maybe you found out more than you ever wanted to about the Brady Bunch kids and that biography, that book that came out about all of them and all the things going on behind the scenes and all of that and everything.
Yeah, whatever.
Where was this? Best. The word best was becoming the go-to way to end an email. A report found best and thanks were the top two ways people were ending emails in 2015. In the early 2000s, only around 5% used the word best.
Wow. Isn't that interesting how that changed? Yeah, that changes so much. Best. About what the go-to thing is.
Best.
How do you end your emails? That's the question.
I have never ended a letter, an email, or anything with best. It does not feel like
best wishes.
Sure.
That would work.
Yeah. I haven't done that.
I usually end mine with thank you or sincerely.
Yeah. Yeah. Regards is one I've heard. I've seen more recently, like warm regards or just regards. Yeah.
Are there, like, regards feels like, I like regards, I'm sure I probably used it, but regards feels like one of those ones where you're when you're saying goodbye to somebody or say ending an email to someone that maybe you don't like or a business or something,
or
but
you're trying you don't to be know class. Very well.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe it's not regardless. Maybe a regard. Yeah, regard. Mm-hmm. There's one though. It's sincerely. Maybe it's sincerely that every time I see it, and it could be a perfectly fine email, right. but it sounds very sarcastic in my head. Mm-hmm. Sincerely, I don't know if they really.
Well, see, I only really use that if it's an email that I want to be impactful.
Ah, okay. Mm. That makes sense.
Well, now there's something, too, because if I know the person, I never hear it that way. Mm-hmm. If I know the person saying it or whatever, but if it's like a business or something like that, especially if it's a response to something that I wrote them or something like that, it feels like it's
It seems perfunctory, I mean, in that way. But regards, I mean, you could just add a couple of modifiers to regards and make it a lot nicer, like warmest regards or warmest personal regards. Mm-hmm. Now, that sounds a lot better. Sounds very nice, right? Yeah.
Do you guys have a go-to way you like to wrap emails up? Because I feel like ending an email is one of the tougher ones for me. I've learned to
I have no idea.
If you guys haven't noticed, I feel like I'm getting better at it, where I'm just now just, I'm not like rambling for 20 more minutes. See, what I was thinking here, guys, is...
you're right, though. That is a tough thing. Sometimes I'm like, what do I do here? I don't know what to do. Thank you is probably a good one to go to.
Thank you is usual for me. Or I look forward to hearing from you is another one.
Right.
If I'm wanting a response.
If it's personal, people I know well personally, cheers, maybe. Mm-hmm. Done cheers thanks. In the past. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's another good one. Yeah, those are good. We will take a timeout. We have no ending to this segment, regardless.
Irregardless.
Yes, but we.
Warmest personal regards.
Best.
But we sincerely thank you. Be back for more show. Welcome back, everybody.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now, right away. I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm sorry now I ever went away. Every night.
Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Going to take it to the top of the hour, wrap up the show for a Monday. Thanks so much, everybody, for joining us. It was a really fun show today. I want to send a special shout out to Art Stevenson for joining us, talking about bluegrass at the lake.
Yep.
Beth in the kitchen's open. Fun show. Fun show today, everybody.
Good Monday show, yeah.
We will be back at this tomorrow. Melissa and I will be hanging out with you. We're going to be doing a bunch of fun stuff we got lined up for you. Yeah. Be on the lookout for that, and be sure to join us.
Thank God. Maybe my voice can... we'll come back by Wednesday.
And we'll be doing some giveaways and some stuff, so be listening for that tomorrow, everybody. And I got a great lineup for you today. Let's go ahead and dive right into it. And I do want to let everybody know that the Rapids Report is up and running, and we're having so much fun with this, the way we've been doing it. It is streaming exclusively at WFHR.com. Every day, Monday through Friday, 2 o'clock, you can catch the pod. Be sure to go head on over there, check it out. Today, we are going to be joined by Olivia and Bianca in Miss Wisconsin Rapids and Miss Wisconsin Rapids team.
Yay! All right. Glad to have them back.
I have one of the best gigs in the world. I get to just hang out with them, talk, and it's going to be
good
fun.
Stuff.
We're going to have a good time today. It's going to be a blast. Be sure to check that out a little bit later today at 2 o'clock. And then we'll be back at it with Playmakers today on our sister station, 105.5 WIRI from 4 to 5. We're going to be taking your sports takes and feelings. I don't think Randy will be in with me. I think it's a solo show for me today, but that's all right. I got all of you out there. I want audience participation.
Call in.
Call up with your sports takes and feelings. Got a lot going on. Aaron Rodgers is signed somewhere. Jair Alexander's getting cut. Brewers are having trouble scoring. Let's talk, everybody.
If you don't want to talk to James directly, you can always, of course, text in the line, too, with the questions or your scorching takes that James can talk about.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Be like every teacher that has gotten bored, done with me. It starts out where we talk on the phone, then it goes to email, and then it's just like a text here and there. Yeah. Looking forward to talking with you, everybody. We got a couple of other things we wanted to touch on as well. Of course, got Rafter Baseball on the radio dial tonight for you. Be sure to join us for that. And Seth, we wanted to get to this too.
Yes, we also have, guess what, everyone? Yet another sign, the summer is here. The Wisconsin Rapids Downtown Farmers Market is starting this week.
Yay!
Down on First Avenue South, along the beautiful Wisconsin River. It's opening Thursday the 12th, and of course, Thursday and Saturday every week throughout the summer, through October, actually. This year, and the hours are 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. on each Thursday and Saturday. And of course, not only do we have the normal vendors there that you see every year, they usually have special stuff going on most Thursdays and Saturdays, so you always want to check it out and see what's going on. So a big shout out to the chamber on this one. Let me get that right. Wood County Health Department actually has a lot to do with that too, because they've got they usually have a booth there as well, and they kind of help out with that. So make sure you head on down to First Avenue, everyone, on Thursday from 8 to 1, and then again on Saturday for the Farmers Market.
Also wanted to remind everybody that Lunch by the River will be going on this week, this Thursday, the 12th. Be sure to head on over there. Rapids School of Performing Arts will be performing at Lunch by the River, 11:30 to 1, over at Veterans Memorial Park. We'll meet you there, everybody.
Nice.
Be a good event.
Always good. And next, we got
great food.
Yes. Hey, and if you're down by the Farmers Market, you know you're really close to the Moravian Church down there, everyone. And we have our book bin out for the fall community book sale. So get all those books off your shelf that you're done with. You've read them through. Bring them to 310 First Avenue South. We have the bin right there off of Goggin Street by the glass doors. We'll be accepting books through September 15th for the book sale, which is October 9th through the 11th this year. I know it seems like it's a long time away, but you know how fast these summers go, everybody.
Yeah,
and you want to get your books there as soon as you can.
And speaking of books, help the United Way of Southwood and Ems Counties fight the summer slide by attending the 14th Annual Great Book Giveaway from June 9th to the 17th.
Awesome. Love this event.
Volunteers like myself will be reading to children at each location for approximately half an hour. Afterwards, each child can select a free book to take home and keep.
Yay!
All free children
books, even better.
That's so cool. All kids and youth from ages birth to 12 years old, parents, grandparents, caregivers, and daycare providers are invited to attend this free event. You can find out more by going to uwswac.org. But everything kicks off today over at Think Academy in Rudolph. They did this at 10:30. I hope that went well for everyone. Tomorrow, Charles and Joanne Lester Public Library in Nacoosa at 10:30. Then on Wednesday, got a doubleheader. McMillan Library at 10:30 a.m. And then at 1:30, they'll be over at the Wisconsin Rapids Municipal Zoo.
Nice.
I'll meet you there, everybody. I'll be there reading to the kids. I think it's my fifth or sixth year in a row doing this.
Very good. Awesome. Very nice.
On Thursday, June 12th, the Edhauer Elementary in Port Edwards will be having this at 10:30. Then Friday, June 13th, Adams County Library in Adams at 10:30. And then Lester Public Library of Rome at 1:30. Then next Monday, the 16th, at the YMCA here in Rapids at 10:30. And everything will wrap up on Tuesday, June 17th, Lester Public Library of Vesper at 12:30. You can see this complete list at uwswac.org.
Nice.
Be sure to head on over there, check that out. And while you're at it, maybe pick up some diapers if you can. For kids, not seniors. Kids.
Not to confuse you with our previous conversation.
Case, yeah. You know, yeah, we were talking a lot about that. Help get new and unopened diapers for all sizes. Wipes, unscented, and are preferred. And diaper rash, paste, creams, all the fixins that we need to help parents with kids.
Mm-hmm.
You can do this now through the 15th, Father's Day. Big thank you to the United Way for hosting this and having this. You can drop off those diapers at 3351 Oak Street right here in Wisconsin Rapids. And again, find out more about the United Way and all these great things that are going on at uwswac.org.
Indeed.
And let's go ahead and take a look at some world good stories. Ed the Zebra was finally captured yesterday. He's the pet zebra that went missing near Nashville last week. The Rutherford County Sheriff's Department posted a video of a helicopter airlifting him to a horse trailer that was waiting to take him home.
Ed the zebra.
Now,
I love it.
Last week we did talk about here in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Zoo, the otter named Louie that escaped in March has officially won his freedom.
Oh!
He's been spotted a few times and seems like he is doing just fine. He's doing very well. Louis was already was born wild, that has been part of the reason. That is the reason why it is working for him. The zoo announced he's, quote, made the decision to be a wild otter, and we're just all respecting
that. Hey,
that's
very, very good.
We're just going to go and respect that. That's Louis's decision. That's cool.
Power to you, Louis.
Yep.
Yeah.
I get it. I
successful breakout.
I do feel like, though, they should keep the door, like an otter door, not a doggy door, but an otter door. Like, because, you know, it sounds real good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got my own hours. I have no bedtime. I get to do what I want and everything. And then you start having to fight for, your own food.
You know, I didn't think this through.
Out of a dumpster.
A guy in Boston bought his daughter a lottery ticket that hit for $2
million. Ooh.
She said she'll use it to pay for college and buy a house. He's still wondering what his cut is.
I'm joking. Wait a minute, dear. Hello.
I bought that for you.
Yeah.
50-50?
Yeah.
And he could say he paid for college now, I guess.
Tell me I never gave you anything.
And a 12-year-old in Oregon named Lily Prasick, just became the state's youngest therapy dog handler.
Oh.
She's been training her golden retriever, Sunny, for over a year, but couldn't be a, quote, junior therapy dog handler until she turned 12.
Mm. Wow.
And you know this was driving her crazy.
Oh, yeah. She was ready. Totally ready, man.
Well, when you're that age, it's like, I'm 11 and 242 days.
Yes.
Not that I'm counting.
She and Sunny recently passed all the tests to get certified, so now it is official.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a great story. Awesome. Very cool.
It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very cool story right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I did have one other good story that is local. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, our DNR, invites the public to head outdoors for the 13th annual Free Fun Weekend happening. That happened this weekend. What I wanted to say was a congratulations to everybody that took advantage of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hope everybody had a good time from it. I don't know about you guys, but when I was bopping around, I just felt like I saw a lot more people out there fishing and taking advantage of things.
Hope so. I hope they did.
I didn't get a chance to go out on the trails, but it seemed like they were busy.
Yep.
I know that this past weekend was one of our more nicer ones and everything that we've had at the early days of summer here, but it was nice to see. It was nice to see so many people taking advantage of that.
Of all the great stuff that we have in the state of Wisconsin. Fantastic stuff.
There's no requirement to the DNR to be doing this. Mm-hmm. So the more of us do this, the more they keep doing it every year.
That's right.
So it's important for us to do this stuff. And when you get a chance to thank somebody in the DNR, I encourage you to do so. Some hard work for our state here. And
fabulous stuff.
Thanks for playing hurt, Seth.
Yeah, no problem, man.
Melissa, thank you for everything.
Every day.
Hey, have a great show, everybody. Nice.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.